Well, we wish you all welcome to Orkla's telephone run-through of the first quarter figures for Orkla. This is Halvor Stensdal speaking. I have together with me here Erik Barkholt, Head of IR, and Erik Hustad of the IR department. We will all, after the presentation, try to answer the questions that you raise with us. I suppose that you have had the opportunity to look at the figures and hopefully also throw some glances at the presentation material. I will be relatively brief in the comments, but I will follow, for those who have it in front of you, I will follow the material that is being published from Orkla as I go along. I start directly with the highlights that are listed on page three in the presentation. Basically speaking, the first quarter was disappointing for Orkla, but primarily so due to the weak results for Carlsberg Breweries. As you all know, the first quarter is an off-season quarter for Carlsberg Breweries. In addition, we had late Easter this year. Weak markets, both in Europe and in Asia, is characteristic of the first quarter for Carlsberg Breweries. On the other hand, as we shall see later on, there are some aspects that are positive also for Carlsberg Breweries in the first quarter. Orkla's other industrial activities had underlying progress. Easter effects and structural changes for chemicals taken into consideration. Although Carlsberg Breweries has reduced its estimate for profit growth to more or less the same profit level as last year, the overall performance for Orkla's other industrial activities is expected in total to be positive. If you look at the key figures on page four, you will see that first quarter revenues are somewhat lower. Underlying development, if you adjust for currency translations and for the Easter effects, is more or less on par with last year. EBITA down, explained by 150 million NOK less from the beverages operation. Easter effects calculated to be approximately 50 million kroner for Orkla as a whole. As a consequence of the negative non-realized reserve in the portfolio, we have booked a loss of 668 million kroner in the first quarter, but that loss is fully reversed by the end of April. And we have also booked the Enskilda sale of our share in Enskilda and our associated companies, as you can see from the key figures set up. On page five, we have quite simply shown how the core currencies have developed to remind you of the weakening of the krona against euro in the first quarter, although the level is still stronger than in the first quarter last year. In addition, weaker U.S. dollars and a concurrent weaker ruble gave negative currency translation effects for BBH in the accounts of Carlsberg Breweries. So in sum for Orkla, the calculation or the translation effects are negative also in the first quarter, although considerably less so than in the first quarter of 2002. Then to the business areas, and firstly to foods. Underlying results for foods on par with last year. We have had a good start in Norway. We're happy to see that the turnaround for our Polish seafood operation is progressing as planned. We should perhaps remind you that the problems we encountered in the Polish seafood operation had not materialized in the first quarter of 2002. On page 7, you are reminded of a new organizational setup for Orkla Foods. The aim is to have more focus all through Orkla Foods organization on core aspects. That is innovation and brand building, speed and thrust in continued improvement activities, both on the revenue side and on the cost side. An example of that is that our improvement program for ABBA Seafood has raised its ambitions to a 100 million improved cost base goal and also speeded up. We shall have full effect at the end of 2004 of that program in ABBA Seafood. And of course the organization also aims at more focus on profitable growth outside the Nordic area. Carlsberg Breweries, as I mentioned in the opening, the first quarter is low season. But given that, the start of the year is still disappointing for Carlsberg Breweries. We have met, or Carlsberg Breweries rather, has met slow demand. In addition to the ruble being weakened against euro, with the negative translation effects for BVH already mentioned. Russian markets, as you have seen, have been weak at the start of the year, which is one of the factors creating some challenges on the product price side for BVH. But on the positive side, market shares, both in Russia and, by the way, for Carlsberg Breweries also in the UK, have continued to grow. And we are pleased to see that growth for the Carlsberg brand by 5 percentage points is promising. If you move to page 9, which adds some of the perspectives relating to the Carlsberg Breweries outside BVH, we have seen declining volumes, particularly for the HoReCa channel, due to difficult economic climate, uncertainties relating to war, the war aspect in Iraq, and for Asia's part, also to SARS, particularly in March and into April. The late Easter effect for Carlsberg Breweries is around 75 to 100 million Danish kroner. And in addition to positive development for the Carlsberg brand and for market shares in the UK, we think it is satisfactory to note that the development in Turkey is now more positive, and we expect Turkey to reach break even on an EBITA level for 2003 as a whole. As to BVH, page 10, BVH's cost base is higher than at the same time last year due to capacity increases, which are now in the process of being completed. 4 breweries are in a completion stage within BVH. In addition to the ruble-euro aspect, Baltica has transformed its distribution setup and has, during that period of time, chosen to be careful with prices, so that prices for Baltica has not been adjusted to the extent that would have been normal. On the other hand, positively, market shares, as you can see, have continued to increase for BVH. And on page 11, you see that even though the market growth in Russia has been weaker, relatively speaking, over the later quarters, the underlying development, as we all know, in Russian economy is still positive. We have seen in earlier periods of time also that market growth quarter by quarter can change considerably in Russia. And Carlsberg Breweries do expect growth in Russia for the year as a whole, although somewhat less so than what was suggested after the fourth quarter of 2002. So the Carlsberg Breweries outlook is summed up on page 12. The weak first quarter has implied an adjustment or a revision downwards of EBITA. Carlsberg Breweries now says that EBITA will be more or less in line with last year. Their work with the reduction of working capital continues. The target is a reduction of 1 billion Danish kroner in course of 2003. And focus continues to be set on growth for the Carlsberg brand. And the outlook suggests a growth in the area of 7% for the Carlsberg brand in 2003 as a whole. Moving then to Orkla's industrial areas outside Carlsberg Breweries, Orkla brand is progressing. I do not think that I need to put many comments to Orkla brand. Fair increase both in revenues and in EBITA. A good stream of new products being launched successfully onto the marketplace. Fair mix, but also cost improvements, particularly in the biscuit activities. And good progress also for confectionery is behind the positive development for Orkla brand. Our contract production to Unilever, by the way, has been in the first quarter more or less on par with last year, but the orders in stock for export production to Unilever is somewhat lower for the rest of the year. Orkla Media, EBITA progress, really for all activity areas except for Berlingske in Denmark, and particularly our weeklies in Norway continue the progress and have good results. As to advertising markets, Norway has been fairly good growth in revenues both for newspapers and for weeklies. It is our view that in Poland, the fall that we have seen over some time in advertising income for our newspapers is now leveling out, while in Denmark, the advertising market is continuing to fall. It fell in the first quarter by approximately 11%. Cost reductions are adjusting parts of that effect, but of course not all of it. The Free Sheet Urban in Copenhagen is continuing to strengthen its position and is becoming clearer and clearer a leader in the Copenhagen market with good growth both in revenues from advertising and in readership. And of course, the negative effect on profitability for Berlingske is reduced as a consequence of that. On page 15, we have quite simply reminded you of the trends relating to advertising revenues for Orkla Media as a whole. You can see that the revenues are down also in first quarter of this year, but less so than in earlier quarters. And it's predominantly Denmark, which implies that a somewhat negative development is continuing. As I mentioned, it has leveled out more or less in Poland, and the development in Norway over the last couple of years, as a matter of fact, has been considerably less negative than in Denmark and also in Poland. Venture Chemicals on page 16. Basically, the EBITA decrease for chemicals is related to the fact that we sold off last year some activities that were profitable. We sold off an industrial activity in Sweden, Chemetil. We sold off some of our hydroelectric power plants, which also added to EBITA in the first quarter last year, while at the same time we are phasing in the acquired specialty pulp activities in Switzerland. They had a negative EBITA contribution in the first quarter, but we expect Switzerland to add positively to EBITA if we look at the year as a whole. So the integration and restructuring of the activity in Switzerland is continuing according to plan. Lignin and Energy also had fair results in the first quarter of this year. Financial investments, not very much to add. Our portfolio had a somewhat better performance than the Oslo Stock Exchange benchmark. 6.3% for us, 9.7% for Oslo, the Oslo benchmark. As you all know, we had to book the negative unrealized reserve, 668 million kroner. But as a consequence of more positive markets in April, all that loss which is booked has been reversed by the end of April. No material changes in the larger items on the portfolio by the end of the first quarter. We have sold shares for 218 million kroner in the quarter. But after the end of the quarter, we have, as you may have noted, made an agreement to sell all our shares in Hafslund. We have received the offer to sell all our shares in Bergesen. And these two items will eventually represent approximately 800 million kroner in revenues from the portfolio. In addition to that, in the second quarter, we will receive some 300 million in dividends, and the cash from the sale of our share in Enskilda, almost 700 million, will also, in fact, be received in the second quarter. So, as you can see from page 19, the market value of the portfolio is slightly more than 11 billion kroner at the end of the quarter, and the share of portfolio invested outside Norway has been stable on approximately 30%. Of the total portfolio. Cash flow, keep in mind that the first quarter traditionally is the quarter with the weakest cash flow from operations. We have acquired own shares, 456 million kroner, and you can also see that expansion investments and acquisitions is at a lower level than last year. Yes, I think basically that is what I need to add to the cash flow. Balance sheet, relatively stable, the underlying balance, relatively stable. Somewhat less strong krona as compared to the end of 2002 are giving some negative effects for our foreign activities. That's pretty much the things that I thought I should point to briefly, admittedly, but I think we can utilize the time we have left by opening up for the questions that you might have. Thank you.
James Rusty from Clairvon.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have four questions, if I may.
Yeah.
The first question is, I was wondering if you could talk about the new products that the company is looking to introduce, particularly in the foods division in 03. Because we've been talking about new products for a while. I was wondering what the expected impact is on sales growth this year over last year. And I was also wondering if you could comment on restructuring efforts in the food division. Within what kind of time frame would you expect to consolidate your factories?
Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah. I cannot, I think, be very specific on new products and exactly what addition to profitability we expect from new products in foods. What I can say is that the pipeline of new products and product launches in food is building up, we feel, at a satisfactory pace. You're quite right in suggesting that it is important to try to reach a level of new product pipeline which is more comparable to the situation that we see, for instance, in Orkla Brands. Foods is not yet on that level, but Foods is having a build-up, a pipeline build-up, which looks satisfactory. I do not think that I should be more specific than that. I think in terms of restructuring in the food sector, first of all, the improvements in Poland, which are very important for us, as I mentioned, I think, in my introduction, is developing well. The Kotlin food activity is beginning to show really positive results. And as I mentioned, we will see also clear improvements from the superfish operation in Poland. So the overall picture for our Polish operations with the improvement activities there is positive. I think that we will probably return at one of the presentations later this year with more specific goals for improvements in foods. And we'll limit ourselves to the remarks this time that I've already made relating to Abba Seafood. But I can underline that we have advanced our goals for cost improvements in foods, and we will be more specific in communication with the market probably after the second, or when we release the second tertial. So with your permission, I will wait to the second tertial to comment more specifically on that.
Okay, thank you. The second question is really about the beverage business, and there's a number of parts to it. One, I was wondering what you think the pricing outlook is, you know, for Carlsberg's operations in Scandinavia going forward. You've mentioned some price competition in Q1. And I was also wondering why we're seeing an increase in distribution costs in different geography in the UK, given that the company seems to have explored the notion of exiting distribution in the UK altogether, which makes a lot of sense since we, you know, the company doesn't have the economies of scale to justify maintaining an extensive distribution system. So why hasn't this already been done?
Right. I will ask my colleagues to supplement me on this. I must admit that the question relating specifically to distribution costs in the UK is something that I would advise you to put directly to Carlsberg Brewery.
Okay.
And any one of you around the table who would want to suggest any particular points relating to that specific question?
I think that's best addressed directly to Carlsberg Brewery, probably.
No, absolutely. I apologize, it was conducted far too early for New York participants to get on the call. But then I'll go to my third question, which is, you know, I was wondering if you could comment on ads trends in April.
Oh, what?
Are you seeing it here in your media division? I cannot be
very specific on that, except saying that overall, I think the somewhat improved position that we see in Norway is keeping up, basically, when we look at the figures we have now. I think that we can affirm the leveling out of earlier negative developments in Poland. But I must admit that there are still no clear signs for improvement in Denmark. So all in all, the picture I'm trying to draw for you is one where the trend that we see after the first quarter is continuing, basically.
Okay. And my last question is, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that the quality of your assets in the different geographies are incredibly attractive. But to lay down to rest, you know, any claims or notions that these assets are not being managed very well right now, I was wondering if, and we started talking about this in food, but for all of your divisions, it would be very useful to get margin targets by division and, you know, within what kind of time frame you think the company can get there. Because clearly, at least hopefully, you know, we have much greater ambitions
right.
than what we've seen over this past quarter. But we do need to set targets to be able to measure management's performance over time.
Right. This is something that we take down and bring with us into our internal discussions. It is something that we have not done. Oracle, as a rule, has been careful in releasing targets of that nature. But I take your point with me, and we'll bring it into our discussions.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you. Other questions?
One more question. Press the star key followed by one. This is Axel from Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm. Hi, actually, it's Sven Axel from Goldman Sachs. Questions about the portfolio. Could you elaborate a little bit about and tell us, you know, what's your overall exposure to industry capital? What is the total capital committed to future investments in industry capital? How do you look at the risk level in these investments, given the leverage in companies in which these funds invest? And lastly, can you say how you perceive that you add value to shareholders of Orkla by investing in industry capital?
I think basically that the first part of your question is in fact answered in the annual report, which lists in some detail really our exposure in the industry capital.
I guess you have investments in companies affiliated with industry capital as well, like the various companies, etc. I'm really thinking about exposure to the whole structure.
All right. Well, it depends a bit on whether or not you will call that exposure to the whole structure, but you're right. We have some investments that are parallel to industry capital. We have, for instance, an investment in Daimler Nobel Holding. We have an investment in Karima, which is a health company, not only directed by industry capital, by the way, but by some of the core owners of industry capital. But these investments are relatively minor, and you will find them, too, listed in the annual report. I think, basically, that our investments in industry capital must be viewed as a way for Orkla to be exposed to some extent to non-listed investment prospects, but not applying too much of our own capacity to investments of that nature. So we have found that it makes sense to invest to some extent through good companies that can follow the investments on our behalf. In some few cases. You should keep in mind that when you look at the portfolio as a whole, of course, this is, after all, even if you take the parallel investment into consideration, a relatively limited level.
Well, it's not limited relative to your market cap, effectively. So if, given the fact that there is a lot of leverage in the industry capital companies, if they ended up going to zero, it would have a significant impact on your equity base.
Oh yeah, yes, I give you that, all right. But on the other hand,
approximately $1 billion in book value.
All in all, yes.
And can you say something about additional capital committed to the new fund of industry capital?
I don't think that we have, at the current point, concluded any amount to that. So I think I should be careful in suggesting exactly what we would do.
Thank you.
Ralf Olsen from Handelsbanken.
Yes, hello guys. Good morning.
Right.
Congratulations with a very strong brands results. I was just wondering, do we see any Easter effects in brands? Do you think it's possible to keep the margins you got in the first quarter, and do you see any signs comparable to what you see in the foods division looking further down the road in 2003, 2004?
But that's a very interesting question. We've discussed it quite deeply internally. I would say our conclusion is that Easter effects in brands are clearly much more limited than Easter effects in foods. Brands admittedly have some products that are consumed during the Easter week, if you will, like confectionery, for instance, which is the clearest example. But on the other hand, we have Easter every year, and the important thing is what is the length of the period in time where they in fact sell the confectionery products that are consumed during the Easter week. So in brands, when the Easter is late, you have a long period through which you sell the products that are consumed in Easter time. But it doesn't necessarily mean that your sale is very much different, depending on when exactly Easter falls. So the Easter effect in brands are perhaps not that large. I would suggest that they are, in fact, rather limited for brands. They are somewhat more of somewhat more importance for food. Not very much so, but somewhat more. So the Easter effect is, for both brands and food, something which is there, but the most important part of Orkla's Easter effect comes, in fact, from coffee breweries. And I think behind your question lies whether or not, in a way, this is something which is very important when you evaluate the quality of the results for brands. And I think what I'm trying to say is that, no, I do not think that Easter effect should be taken as a very important point when you discuss that.
Is that an accurate answer to your question?
Does it make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. So the only thing left is, do you see any signs in brands as you see in foods? I'm thinking of the Lidl expansion and the cost-cutting you're doing in foods due to this.
Well, first of all, we are taking the Lidl expansion and other similar possible steps very seriously. This is not something that we are relaxed about at all. But our view is that what we must do is to be as effective as possible on improving continuously our cost side. And we must, as I mentioned, as a response to an earlier question, continue to improve our ability to launch new products and give added quality to consumers through our brands. This is vital for our ability to continue to increase profitability in spite of the fact that we must expect private brands through Lidl and otherwise to continue to increase in our markets. As a matter of fact, we have very good profitability and very good development for some products where we have in fact seen an increase in the private label share of market in Norway and in others and in the other Nordic countries over the later years. So we have proven our ability to sustain profitability even in areas where the private label percentage is increasing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any more questions? Press the star key followed by one. There are no more questions.